Good morning. My name is Ed Holohan, and this is The View from Here. The chickadees are devouring the seeds of flowers and the seeds of weeds. They eat all the seeds. They are ravenous. I watched today as one of them perched at the top of a long stem filled with peckable bounty. As she did so, her weight bent the stem almost to the ground, where four of her cohorts were waiting to browse the now eye-high bough. It was an impressive display of teamwork. Then it was the robins' turn. A large pack of them, 20 or 30, has been visiting our turf for a week or two now. They are particularly fond of the mature white berries found in abundance on the rough-leafed dogwoods. I have been diligent for the past several years in encouraging the proliferation of the dogwood, giving them more space and sun, restraining their competition. We support several varieties here, each with their specific bloom and berry. I am smiling the satisfied smile that comes when one's work is rewarded. Encourage the flora and watch the fauna that follows. I think that the eastern flicker may be the handsomest of our avian browsers. There are easily a dozen local species who might well take exception to that statement. I wouldn't blame them, but I will argue my position. If you don't know the bird, imagine a brown and white woodpecker with that marvelous herringbone jacket. It's about the size and shape of his red-bellied cousin. But when he turns to face you, he presents a shield stamped right in the middle of his breast. It's remarkably similar in shape to the shield on Superman's chest, the one that holds his Superman S. And when he turns away, the flicker shows a bright red patch at the nape of his neck. Very sporty. The reason I bring it up is not to instigate a discussion over which is the handsomest bird, but rather to let you know that the flicker's favorite morsel is also the fruit of the dogwood. I'm watching a pair of flickers and dozens of robins devour the dogwood. The nights are getting colder and the season's first flurries have blown by. I can see well into the woods now for the first time since middle spring. Now the trees reveal their wooden shapes, and the landscape is made more of space and shadow than of foliage. The last of the fall color is clinging to its perches, and most of it has turned 100 shades of brown. A single sunset evening in the valley would cement for all time, even for the least imaginative of mental palates, that brown is beautiful. That brown, not black, is all the colors rolled into one, carefully stirred and handed back to us, warm. If the world were ruled by hickories and oaks, Crayola would produce a 64 box of crayons, all in shades of brown. And children would tell their grandmothers, "Look, Grammy, I made a picture of the trees for you. Look how many colors I used." The picture would be a wonder, colored all in copper and bronze and umber and sienna and ochre and puce and chocolate. And it would be marvelous. After last week's hard freeze, the tenacious hold that yellow leaves had on their birch and hackberry hosts was finally weakened so that this morning, with the lightest of breezes, they floated directly down, twisting and sashaying, holding buoyant for just an instant. They waltz to the forest floor and enter their new cycle, becoming soil. The cool air is full of them, and the atmosphere has turned golden. It's rather like standing in a glass of beer, except the bubbles don't rise, they descend. It is remarkable that this slide towards winter sleep should come as a surprise every year. Maybe it's a testament to our capacity for wonder, or maybe the time from equinox to equinox, spring into fall, is exactly the time it takes for humans to forget and then again be dazzled by the turn of seasons.